Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast for Sunday, April 4th, 2021.
Robed in frail humanity, in our longing, in our darkness, now the light of life has come. Look to Christ who condescended, took on flesh to ransom us. Come behold the wondrous mystery, He the perfect Son of Man. In His living, in His suffering, never trace nor stain of sin. See the true and better Adam come to save the hell-bound man. Christ the great and sure fulfillment of the law, in Him we stand. Come behold the wondrous mystery, Christ the Lord upon the tree. In the stead of ruined sinners hangs the Lamb in victory. See the price of our redemption, see the Father's plan unfold. Bringing many sons to glory, grace unmeasured, love untold. Come behold the wondrous mystery, slain by death, the God of life. But no grave could e'er restrain Him, praise the Lord, He is alive. What a foretaste of deliverance, how unwavering our hope. Christ in power resurrected, as we will be when He comes. Heavenly Father, we do praise You and thank You for this time that You've blessed us with. As we come into this time of music, of reading from Your Word, I pray that You would convict our hearts where there might be sin indwelling, that everything else in our mind would just fade away, and that we would focus on Christ today. In Your Son's name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Good morning. As we come to our scripture reading and prayer time this morning, we're not going to be in 1 Peter as we have been. We're going to be in Isaiah, the end of 52 and all of 53. So if you have your Bibles with you, if you'll turn to Isaiah 52:13, that's where our reading will be this morning. Couple of announcements, or one real announcement first. I want to remind you about Caitlin Henley's baby shower. It'll be 1 p.m. at the Pollock's home. Rosalie, pardon me, I forgot to write the date down. The 18th, April 18th, 1 p.m. Please RSVP back to Rosalie if you're going to be able to attend. Sorry about that, Rosalie. You told me and I left it off. For our prayer time today, first, happy to start off with a praise. Ted, who... man's the front desk for us out here. We've been praying for him and was having some tests done. They thought his cancer may have come back. All of his tests came back negative. So that's a huge prayer that's been answered, and praise for that. Continue to pray for Zach and Amy as well. I don't know if you all got the email from the pastor about the missionary family who had just gone back overseas and found out that their son passed away back here in the States. So they're traveling back. So lift that family up, as well as Crystal Moore, who is the Holbrooks, Blaine and Sandra's neighbor, is having some tests, may have cancer, trying to determine what the course of treatment would need to be there. And finally, Judy Johnson, pray for Lori and Jimmy as they try to determine how best to treat Miss Johnson moving forward. So with all those being said, let's move into our reading, and then we'll go straight into prayer time. So Isaiah 52:13. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him, for that which has not been told them they see, and that which they have not heard they understand. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned, every one, to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, particularly on this day, Lord, but every day, Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who you foretold back in the day of Isaiah, all throughout the Old Testament, Father, you promised a Savior that would come and would be the worthy sacrifice, Father, for the sins of all the world, Father. And we come today, Father, and we thank you for that, Father. We thank you that you kept your promises, Father, to send your Son, Father. We also thank you that Father, you promised to one day make this world right and return it to the state that it was in, Father, when you created it, when your Son returns. And Lord, we look forward to that day, and we thank you for it. Father, we thank you, Father, for the good news this morning about Ted. And Father, that his cancer has not come back, that all the tests were negative. And Father, we thank you for that answered prayer. Father, you answer all of our prayers, Lord. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather this morning together as a group of believers, Father, to worship you, to come together in fellowship with one another, Father, and to open our hearts as we open your word, Father, that Father, we may grow closer to you, Father. Be glorified in everything that we do this morning. Father, we do come to you, Lord, as a broken group of people. Father, all of us have sinned and fallen short of your glory. There's not one of us who is not guilty, Father, except those who are covered by the blood of your Son and are looked at as righteous through him, Father. And again, thank you for that. And if there's those that are here this morning that aren't covered by his blood, Father, we pray, Lord, that you would open their hearts and the scales would fall from their eyes, Lord, and and even today they would believe in your Son. Father, we lift up these that are on our prayer list, Father, first off, acknowledging that each one of us have many things that are on our hearts and people who we know are lost in our lives, and we pray for them, and Father, people who are sick, and Lord, we lift them up to you, and Lord, burdens that you've put on each one of our hearts, and Father, we all lift those up. But Father, this morning we specifically lift up Amy and Zach, and we pray for them, Father. We pray, Lord, that you would heal their bodies, Father, as you see fit, that you would be with their families, Father, and all that they go through, Father. And we lift them up and ask that you put your hand on them. Father, we lift up the missionary family in our emails, Father, and Lord, can't fathom even what that loss feels like, Father. But Father, we praise you that they know you, and Father, we know that you'll be there and comfort them during this time, Father. And we pray that you would keep them safe as they travel, Father, and Father, that you would be that friend that sticks closer than a brother. Father, we pray for Crystal Moore. Father, we pray, if it be your will, that you would heal her body, Father, and as they look forward to tests and whatnot, Father, over the next days and weeks, Father, that you would give them and the doctors great wisdom there, Father, and that we praise you, Father, that she's a believer in you, and Father, that there's great comfort there. Father, for Miss Johnson and Lori and Jimmy, Father, Father, we pray for that situation. We pray that you would give Lori and Jimmy and the family great wisdom there as they make decisions with Miss Johnson's health, Father, and Father, again, that you would just guide them. Father, for this time today, we lift it up to you again. We pray that you would open our hearts to learn more about you. We pray for Gil as he comes, that you would loosen his tongue, Father, and all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. No, I'm not preaching yet. We are doing things a little different this morning. As you may have noticed, we sang two songs on the front end. We're going to go ahead and do Lord's Supper. My intentions here in doing this way is that we think through Christ's Passion Week, the moments leading up to Christ's crucifixion, his death, his burial, his resurrection. And so we're going to, if you'll notice through the service, that's the direction we'll be moving toward. So, but before we do Lord's Supper, we'll have a moment of silence. If you're visiting with us this morning, we do practice open communion. So if you're a baptized believer, not under church discipline from another church, then you're welcome to take Lord's Supper with us. So we'll have a moment of silence, and if you would, go ahead and grab your wafer and grape juice. Nothing like changing things up on a Sunday morning, right? Stir the pot. John's not here, so we'll do what we want, right? I have a feeling I'll be kicked off the elder board come Wednesday. So let's have a moment of silence, and then I'll pray, and then we'll take Lord's Supper. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your sacrifice made on our behalf. Lord, your body that was broken, your blood that was shed for us. Lord, we praise you today. Lord, reveal to us the sin in our heart. Cause us to lift you up boldly. Cause us to love you more and more. Cause us to see your work today in a new light. Lord, work in us here at Grace. In your precious name we pray. Amen. And the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Matthew 27, verse 27 through 31 says, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before them. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed into his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him." Let's stand and let's sing together.
Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Alleluia, what a Savior, bearing shame and scoffing rude in my place. Stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Alleluia, what a Savior, guilty, vile, and helpless we,
spotless Lamb
of God was he, for atonement can it be. Alleluia, what a Savior, lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah, what a Savior, when he comes our glorious King, all his ransom home to bring. Then anew this song we'll sing. Hallelujah, what a Savior.
Mark chapter 15, verse 33. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "Behold, he's calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that it was torn in two, saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God. There were also women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James the younger and of Joseph and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him. And there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem.
Christ the sure and steady anchor in the fury of the storm. When the winds of doubt blow through me and my sails have all been torn, in the suffering and the sorrow, when my sinking hopes are few, I will hold fast to the anchor. It shall never be removed. Christ the sure and steady anchor, while the tempest rages on. When temptation claims the battle and it seems the night is won, deeper still then goes the anchor. Though I justly stand accused, I will hold fast to the anchor. It shall never be removed. Christ the sure and steady anchor, through the floods of unbelief. Hopeless somehow, oh my soul, now lift your eyes to Calvary. This my ballast of assurance, His love forever proved. I will hold fast to the anchor. It shall never be removed. Christ the sure and steady anchor, as we face the wave of death. When these trials give way to glory, as we draw our final breath, we will cross that great horizon, clouds behind and life secure. And the calm will be the better for the storms that we endure.
Heavenly Father, as we continue into the reading of your word, I pray that you would remind us of Christ and the entire testimony of Christ throughout the Bible, that the meditation of our hearts and the thoughts on our minds would glorify you now and always as we live this life. Help us now. In your Son's name I pray. Amen.
Luke chapter 23, verses 50 to 56. Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, who had not consented to their decision and action, and he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen shroud, and laid him in a tomb cut in stone where no one had ever yet been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Caleb and Kami. Let's pray one more time. Dear Lord, we thank you. We thank you that we can open your word today, that we can sing praises to you, that we can rejoice for what you have accomplished for us. And Lord, we're going to look even further today at what you have accomplished through your resurrection. Lord, we just praise you this day, this Easter morning. May all honor and glory go to you. Lord, open our hearts, open our minds, open our ears. Lord, may we see Christ more beautiful today. Your precious name we pray. Amen. Greg, is it going to mess anything up if I raise this up a little? Thank you. All right. Have you ever been watching a movie, and as you're watching, you begin to think to yourself, I've seen this movie before? Not necessarily the same particular movie, but the same storyline, the same theme. Let's take a hero story, for instance. You might say, we see our hero enter in out of obscurity, out of mystery. Our hero is then tested, tried with events, different events, events of life, events of circumstance. This then leads to a dark moment. Our hero is no longer just tested. This is the moment where history is made. This is the moment that makes heroes. These are times of difficult decisions. These are times that lead to difficult outcomes, but these are outcomes that are rising out of darkness, the light at the end of the tunnel. This is winter, spring, the dawn of the darkest of nights, which leads to a victorious return where our hero goes back home. They live on as symbols of hope. This is the basic storyline for a hero movie. But there's nothing basic about this plot, nor is it just for the silver screen. This is the oldest storyline known to man. If you look to the Old Testament, we see the same plot with Moses. He's the Hebrew child, rescued from death by the river, raised by Pharaoh's daughter, tested with loyalty to his people and to his God. He's met with darkness as God plagued Egypt. He come out of darkness as he led his people through the Red Sea. But this hero story stopped short, as do all of them. When I think back to all of the heroes of Marvel and DC Comics, who reads comic books? Who watches the Marvel movies, the DC movies? And Garrett, I know your boys do. Come on now. I know the Pollocks do. I know Z does. These comic book heroes all come up short. They all end short. But while they win the day, or seem to win the day, while they may save humanity, on Thursday, come Sunday, they're fighting the same enemy again. There will always be a sequel to Batman. There will always be a sequel to Superman. Even if Superman dies, there will still be a sequel to Superman, because he's going to come back and fight the same enemy over and over. There'll be a sequel to Iron Man, a sequel to Spider-Man. Whether anybody watches Spider-Man or not, they'll keep making those movies. But we are celebrating a hero story today, a complete hero story today, one that gives us hope for eternity, one that defeats the enemy, one that has crushed the head of the serpent. Praise God he crushed that head. One that has defeated death and resurrects us to life with him at the right hand of the Father. This morning we followed our hero. We followed Christ through the Passion Week, all in the past half hour. We followed our Lord Jesus to the night leading to his arrest. And as we take the Lord's Supper, we witnessed the nails driven into his hands, the suffering of a death that he did not deserve. We see the reactions of the people at the foot of the cross. Along with that guard, we exclaim, "Truly, this man is the Son of God." This morning here in year 2021, we proclaim that Jesus truly is the Son of God. Not just because of his death on the cross, but we look to our hero who is truly special. Even as he died on the cross, paying the penalty for our sins, he does not stay there. We celebrate today a risen Savior. He does not stay in the grave. He is not defeated by death. This morning we're going to look at John chapter 20. And this is just where we're going to start. We're going to be all over this morning. But John chapter 20, starting with verse 1. And we're going to see the resurrection here. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in. I guess John got enough courage to go in. And he saw and he believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head, one at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, and she did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," that he had said these things to her. This morning's sermon has but one truth. And really, today, We've got one truth to think about. Jesus is alive. We gather here this morning to praise this one truth. It's nothing new. It's been foretold that Jesus could not be held by death. Hosea 6:2 reads, "After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live before him." Jesus himself foretells his death and resurrection multiple times. Matthew 12:38-42, "Then some of the scribes and the Pharisees answered him, saying, 'Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you.' But he answered them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment and with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. Mark 10, verse 33 to 34. Taking the 12 again, he began to tell them that it was to what was to happen to him, saying, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise." Jesus says again in John 2, 18 to 22, "So the Jews said to him, 'What signs do you have to show us for doing these things?' And Jesus answered them, 'Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up.' And the Jews then said, 'It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?' But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said these things, and they believed the scriptures and the word that Jesus had spoken." This should have been no surprise to anyone who heard the teachings of Jesus, as he had foretold these things in the teachings of the Old Testament pointing to this event. Jesus rose from the grave, and today we gather because he overcame death on the third day, rising from the dead, rolling the stone away from the face of the tomb, and ascending to the right hand of the Father, all for our good. And this is where we're going to spend the remainder of our time this morning, looking at how the resurrection is for our good. N.T. Wright says, "The resurrection completes the inauguration of God's kingdom. It is the decisive event demonstrating that God's kingdom really has launched on earth as it is in heaven. We live here on earth. Therefore, the resurrection affects us here and now in this life. It affects how we live. It affects how we go. It affects how we deal with trouble. It affects how we look toward life's end." So let's look back to John 20. And we're going to see that because Christ has been raised, we are heirs with Christ. Verse 17, Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Jesus tells his disciples that he is ascending to his Father and ours. Because of the work that Christ accomplished on our behalf, and the fact that he did not stay in the grave, brought us into a right relationship with God the Father. We're no longer strangers, but heirs with Christ. Titus 3:3-6. "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." What a wonderful position this is to be in. Because Christ has raised us, we are sent out. John 20, verse 21. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." We at Grace Baptist are very, very familiar with the Great Commission, which is not to be said for many of the churches in our nation. about 50% of Christians, people who claim to be Christians, who are sitting in churches right now across our nation, about 50% of them have never heard of the Great Commission, which is hard for me to fathom. But we at Grace, we're very familiar with the Great Commission in the Gospels of Matthew and Mark. Luke omits such a call, but John gives us a call. And I think it's much simpler than Matthew and Mark put out. Jesus basically says, do what I do. As my Father sent me, even so I am sending you. My Father sent me, you are heirs with me, I am sending you. We have a message to proclaim. Yes, we proclaim that Jesus died in our place, but a dead Savior does not commission his disciples. A living Savior does, however. A raised Savior who has overcome death can rightly send out his people. That's why we go. That's why we proclaim the gospel. We are raised to life, not to sit on our butts, but to live out the truth of the gospel. Not just using words when necessary, that little cliche we see on church signs. Not just using words when necessary, but using the gospel and gospel words often. Speaking up boldly, speaking up faithfully, proclaiming truth in dark places. Even right here, as we see darkness in our own nation, division and disunity in our own nation. Since Christ has been raised, we too have been raised to go outside of our comfort zones and speak truth. And thinking about the darkness that is presently surrounding our nation, surrounding our world even, we must not lose hope. Which brings us to our next truth here. Because Christ has been raised, we dwell in hope. Flip over to Acts 2 with me. I'm going to read starting with verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. You crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, my tongue rejoiced, my flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with him an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into heaven, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God who made both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. We do not fear what this world holds. We know the one who overcame this world and was raised to life by the Father. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. It was not possible for our Christ to be held by death. What hope we have that this Lord is ever before us, that our hearts can be glad, that our tongues can rejoice. Because of such hope, we can abide here in Christ. We can live here in this hope. We can hope that the tires last on our cars, but we'll be surely disappointed when we have to change them. But we can look at a Savior who has done everything that He has promised. We can look through Scripture and rejoice in the fact that every prophecy concerning Christ's birth, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension actually happened. We're sitting here in 2021 and we can read this and we can know these things happen because we live based in these promises. We live because of these fulfilled promises. We do not dwell in such sad existence as the Sadducees. Who had no hope in a resurrection. We have confidence in the resurrection of Christ and in His resurrecting power in our lives. Praise God for it. Because Christ has been raised, we trust not in man, but in God who raises the dead. Flip over to 2 Corinthians 1:9. I tell you, I read this verse, and it rocked my world this week, quite literally. This is huge. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves. How many of us tend to rely on ourselves more often than we ought? How many of us think we're in control of everything that we do? Everything that happens with our kids, our spouse? How many of us think that if we don't work hard enough, we won't have food to eat, but we look at the sparrows. I could go on. But that wasn't to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Wow. Life brings unexpected circumstances to each and every one of us. Sometimes it is sickness. Sometimes it is trouble with children. Sometimes it's marriage problems. Sometimes we have trouble finding work. Sometimes school is a struggle. Politics seem to pull us. Life in general just takes us to a loathing existence at times. In our sufferings, in this sin-filled world, where do we find ourselves comforted? Where do we find peace? Do we seek comfort in man or his inventions? Do we find peace in food? Entertainment? Social media? And just to let you know, this is not a slam against social media. I've been known to come across that way. What about preachers? Do we find peace and comfort in men of God? Or do we take our troubles to the God who raises the dead? When trouble strikes, we must not look inward or outward even, but upward to our God who resurrects us to life, raises us from the dead. Lastly, because Christ has been raised, we too have been raised. One more scripture change. Romans 8, verse 11. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. I feel as though this application of resurrection to our lives has come full circle this morning, because we began looking at the fact that we are heirs with Christ through His resurrection, and now we're looking at the fact that the one who raised Christ also raises us to life. And I almost prepared this saying, new life, as if we were alive before Christ. But I was reminded last night that there was no life found in us before Christ came along. We were dead in our sins. We found no taste of life until we tasted of that resurrected life through Christ. Our mortal bodies are given life, and life abundant, as the Spirit dwells within us. This changes everything for us as God's people. We live changed by such indwelling power. Our hero did something else that no hero does. He equips us with the ability to fight sin. We, as God's people, have the ability to fight the enemy. Not just fight, but to overcome, living victorious lives. We're no longer chained to sin. And if you don't know this victory that we have in Christ through His death, His burial, His resurrection, and His ascension, I invite you to know Christ today. I invite you to know this truth today. Repent of your sin. Turn to Christ this day, trusting God who raises the dead, living as an heir with Christ, dwelling with hope. If you don't know this hope today, speak with one of the elders here this morning, or any of us here this morning. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You. We thank You that You have risen from the grave, that You stand triumphant over death, that You defeated sin on our behalf, that You have worked a great miracle in our hearts, taking this heart of stone and giving hearts of flesh. Lord, we praise You this morning. Lord, change our hearts, change our minds, cause us to love You more and more. In Your precious name I pray. Amen.
If you would, please stand with me and let's sing together.
I once was lost in darkest night, yet thought I knew the way. The sin that promised joy and life had led me to the grave. I had no hope that you would own a rebel to your will. And if you had not loved me first, I would refuse you still. But as I ran my hell-bound race, indifferent to the cost, you looked upon my helpless state and led me to the cross. And I beheld God's love displayed. You suffered in my place. You bore the wrath reserved for me. Now all I know is grace. Hallelujah. All I have is Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus is my life. Now, Lord, I would be yours alone and live so all might see the strength to follow your commands could never come from me. Oh, Father, use my ransom life in any way you choose, and let my song forever be my only boast is you.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for Christ. Help us now as we go this week to remember him and to walk in a way that would glorify you in all of our actions. In your son's name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Grace Baptist Church podcast. You can listen to past sermons at podbean.com. Search Grace Baptist Church China Grove to find us. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts. Search Grace Baptist Church China Grove. Service starts at 10. Thank you for listening, and remember to be intentional in making disciples this week.